It's time now for us to have our Galatians read through. Here's some things just to help us do this. Again, it's word for word from the NLT. If you would like to read along in your Bible, if that would be helpful for you, then you're very welcome to. Everything that you will need will be up here and on the screens. And so we'd love for you to enjoy this and to consider carefully the argument of the whole book. I'm going to give you a quick summary just to help you know where we're going. Here's the plan for today. We're going to start in the prologue where Paul introduces the letter. Then we're going to go through kind of the history of the gospel from Paul's perspective. That's what he does. And then he has this big argument about faith versus law. How is it that we are saved? Are we saved through faith or the law or both or just one? Hint, the answer is faith alone. And that is what he's going to do. He's going to explain that. He's going to give all these illustrations to help process what he means. And then later on, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit and what he does for us and how that interacts with us in our fleshly bodies. And of course, then there's an epilogue to the letter. As we go through, there's five readers. I'm going to introduce them to you. So we've got Andrew here, who is Paul. And so when Paul's speaking, then Andrew will be talking. And then there's Monica and Charlotte. They are also going to be Paul. They're helping. There's a lot of things for Paul to say. And then we've got Rachel over here. She'll be joining us later. She is the law. And then Dave here is faith. That's the plan. Everyone ready? Awesome. Let's do it.
This letter is from Paul, an apostle.
Authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia.
May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen.
I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what I've said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant.
Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reason. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away into Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that what I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia. And still, the Christians in the churches in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again. This time with Barnabas, and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church and shared with them the message I had been preaching to the Gentiles.
I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Gentile.
Even that question came up only because of some so-called believers there, false ones really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations. But we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you.
And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites.
Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he'd given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I've always been eager to do.
But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong.
When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision.
And as a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy. Even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy.
So when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter, in front of all the others, "Since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are both Jews, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. We have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law.
But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we've abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin?
Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me.
So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God.
has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die.